church today. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for rising from that grave. Jesus, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. praise and worship about today. Amen. He is risen. He has risen. And how many are thankful for what you feel in the house here today? There is power in the house here today, and I'm thankful for what I feel. Smile at someone. Let them know you're happy to see them here at Turning Point on this Easter Sunday. Amen, amen. If we could have the ushers come forward at this time, we're going to go into another form of praise and worship. We're going to come and give unto the Lord this morning. Amen, amen. Amen. Let's go before the Lord and let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. We're thankful for what we feel here today. We're thankful that you're in this place, Lord. We are thankful for your presence, Lord. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Shake someone's hand. Give them a fist bump. Let them know you're happy to see them here at Turning Point Church as you come and give unto the Lord.
you, Lord, for your presence that we feel in this place today. Hallelujah, Jesus. I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes.
Tell them how happy you are to see them in the house of God today. If you're not happy, at least act like it. Turn around, look at somebody else and say, this is a good day to celebrate Easter with you. That's a mouthful, but you got it. Praise God. Spirit of the Lord is moving in this place, and I am beyond convinced that whatever you have need of, you can walk out with it. Amen. You can walk out with it. It is, again, so good to see each and every one of you on Easter Sunday. You could be anywhere worshiping the Lord, but you chose to come here to Turning Point. We're thankful you're here. One more time, clap your hands. Seeing all these, everybody all dolled up, these guys looking like, you know, they took a shower today. Congratulations. Amen. Brother Garrett, he wants a picture, Sister Jacqueline, after service. He told me that earlier. He wore that shirt and tie to match you all, so just throwing that in there. Amen. There is a little spot back there with a photo area where you can take pictures, or somebody can take pictures of you. And just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Again, it's over here and on my left, your right, or directly behind you. Amen. Also, just got a few announcements to make, and that is ladies' prayer tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and then men's prayer at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. We're a praying church. Can somebody say amen? We're seeing God move across our lives and across our communities, and because of that, it's because of prayer. That's the bottom line. Also, we have unfortunate situations that had happened this past week, and that is, please be in prayer for Brother James Ryan and his family. I've seen him somewhere around here. But his dad had passed away, and we want to pray the strength of God on him. The viewing is tomorrow from 4 to 7, and then the funeral is on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And then Sister Bridget's father and Sister Cindy, wherever I've seen her here, their father had passed away as well, and we want to pray the peace of God on them and their home and their life and help their mama out. Amen. And so that is happening Tuesday night from 4 to 7 is the viewing, and then Wednesday morning is at 11 o'clock, so be in prayer for each of them as they navigate through these coming days, that they may feel the peace of God more than anything. Amen. Before you're seated, look at somebody and say, you look good today. Clap your hands and you may be seated. We have one baptism that's going to happen, and we're excited about that. He's a little guy. He's almost 6 years old. Benny was talking to his parents, and they wanted to make sure he knew what was going on. And they finally, I think Gage had just asked him, Benny, what do you want to get baptized for? He said, because I want to go to heaven, and that's the only way to do it. So it's wonderful to see families wanting to consecrate their lives and dedicate their lives. And what a wonderful day to do it on Easter 2024. Also, after service, for those that are able to stay, and I understand some of you got ham cooking still and maybe a roast. I don't know what people eat for Easter. What ham? Is that the going thing? Tamales? Ham. I'm like, just give me a pizza and I'm content. But for those that are able to stay, we are going to have a wedding here today. They wanted to celebrate this day, and so we're going to do that, and we're excited about that. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 16, Matthew 16 and 16, and then Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. Matthew 16, 16 says, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everybody say that. Just say those words. And Simon Peter answered and said, go ahead, right here. Thou art Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible reads, And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Would you clap your hands one more time? Say amen. Jesus called the Christ. A yoke is a wooden beam normally used between a pair of oxen or other animals to enable them to pull together a load when working in pairs. It seems like a primitive device, but that heavy leather strap, wood, and pinions would create the ability to harness things up together to pull weight that would otherwise be difficult to handle. A yoke was created to link up and to carry a weight that could not normally be done by one. A yoke would bind the two objects together in agreement. That's why Scripture states in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, Can two walk together except they be agreed? Matter of fact, they state that the earlier yokes needed to be fitted better because they were known to go across an animal's neck, and unfortunately there were problems. Everybody say it was a yoke. See, this device had made its way into the human race to better carry supplies. It was again a piece of wood of some length, a harness of some sort, and on either side of the yoke would be either a bucket or maybe more than one bucket on either side. And the reason was is that it made it able, made the person able to carry more than what they had anticipated to carry with just their two hands. It would cross the shoulders of the neck of the said individual, allowing this person to better carry a load, again, what two hands could not handle. Buckets of water, buckets of produce, used by laborers as they carried loads to and from the job site. A yoke became a symbol of carrying a burden. Somebody say amen. Eventually and unfortunately, this primitive tool or primitive act moved to more menacing terms. It became a symbol of slavery. One dictionary describes it as this: the yoke has connotations of subservience and toiling. In some ancient cultures, it was traditional to force a vanquished enemy to pass beneath a symbolic yoke of spears or swords. The yoke may be a metaphor for something oppressive or burdensome. End of quote. Now bear with me. I know you got ham in the oven and you don't want the rolls to burn. Can somebody say amen to that? How many are having ham today? Oh my goodness, we have a lot of ham eaters. Amen. But if you were to open a book, a history book, many times you would see men and women, boys and even girls walking under not only a load, but many times walking under or through swords and spears, symbolizing the very fact that they are coming under the domination and control of their captors. It wasn't just about physical control that they were after. This type of domination would also affect their minds. For you see, to control both the mind and the body of the captive would further their dominion and their reign of terror. The captives from war would lose their weaponry, be beaten, at times stripped naked and paraded through the arched city gates and openings, which the Roman Empire had so ably called these arches or openings as one who walks under a yoke. It's an entry to the yoke of slavery. It was a definition of slavery. It was a definition of solitude. It was a defining moment to promote hopelessness. It served as a reminder that they were now bound and oppressed to their captors' needs and at their very beckoned call. Humiliated, beaten, tired, bloodied, and bruised, the Roman Empire would march their captives through the city with the cheers and jeers of the said inhabitants. I'm going to need somebody to help me out here today. I need a big guy, Spencer. I know you're pretty big, but, you know, we got to be careful. We don't want to wear your little arms out. And we need some help here. Anybody want to help? Thank you. Remember, look at this good-looking dude. He's available for a godly, Holy Ghost-filled girl. Amen. You might need to go and get that, please. Thank you so much. Amen. And just kind of put it on your shoulders. Just look at that. Look at that supermodel. This dude he's not a model for Dollar General now. This is the real deal. Now, you're going to have to stay there for a minute. Are you okay doing that? You sure? Okay. They, the captive, would walk through and feel not just the spoken words, but they would even feel the hurled rocks from the crowd against their already broken bodies. Feel the cutting of the tip of a spear across their now bloodied and exhausted backs. Would it be possible just to maybe walk a little bit without hitting anybody on the front row? Don't take out Felicia now. She got a new dress for Easter, and you don't want her husband after you. Spittle would run down their faces as they were openly humiliated through this task of walking through the yoke of the empire, Roman Empire. The purpose of doing this act of walking under or through the yoke of the city was to demoralize them, make them hang their heads in shame and feel destitute. The walking through these openings was a symbol that there was no way out. If you walked through the yoke of the Roman Empire, it was letting them know you have no right to your own voice. You will not be able to get one weapon again. You have no way out. Somebody say amen. Now, walking through those openings was a symbol of humiliation, meant to sear in their memory that they were now slaves with no hope of freedom. You take hope out of humanity and there becomes a loss of will, a loss of strength, and despair sets in. And suddenly there stands a person without any reason to live. Seize the Day devotional said it like this: you can lose your business, your money, and maybe even your family, but hope is the one thing you cannot afford to lose. For hope keeps man alive. It climbs over obstacles when no one is helping. It arouses the mind to explore possibilities. It sweetens when bitterness bites. It makes us optimists for tomorrow. It hangs in with everything that seems to be slipping away. It smiles when no one is laughing. It urges us on, and it gives radiance despite the darkness. Amen. The trouble is, hope seems to be in short supply. End of quote. Let me pause early on here and repeat the words of the man called Christ Jesus. John chapter 10 and 10 reads, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy." But let me give us a little hope on this Easter Sunday. Jesus said, "I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly." I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the hope of Calvary. I'm thankful for the hope of a risen Savior. Somebody clap their hands and shout hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for Jesus called the Christ? You could just maybe stand up here now. I don't want to wear you out. A yoke is something that binds. A yoke is something that links something else to. It is a burden in itself. A yoke can be more than an object. It can be a verb to harness, to couple, to attach, to unite. That is why in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Hear me today. You and I were not created to be joined up with all the mess that's out in the world. You and I were not created to be harnessed up with this promotion of fear and torment that's meant to flood your her mind and my mind. I tell us today, you and I were created to be a conduit for the power of God to move through. You and I were created to be a container for which the power of God works through us. You were not created, hear me, you were not created to be an addict. You were not created to be an alcoholic. You were not created to be a victim of abuse. Amen. You were not created for that. Let me take that a step further. Neither were we created to be a person with panic attacks. Neither were we created to be a person imprisoned by fear, by worry, or by doubt. I tell us today, I feel a little Jesus in me right now. I say we stand up and make a declaration that we refuse the spirit that the devil's trying to link us up to, because it's heavy. It gets low down. But I tell us today that Jesus called the Christ resurrected on purpose for us today. So, hallelujah. Isaiah 43, 1 through 5 reads it like this. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by name. You are mine. But yet there is this thing called fear that seems to link up to us at times. And fear can be paralyzing. Anybody ever be fearful of something? Be honest. Anybody ever scared, has been scared before? How many loves to scare somebody? Love it. Love it. It's my mission. But unfortunately, I seem to get scared more often than I get to be the giver. And I scream like a spanked baby. I mean, I think they were at prayer today, early this morning. And I was heading out that back door to do something, and the music kicked on at the right time. And it went, boy, I mean, it was just sound. And I yelled. I'm telling you, it wasn't in the Holy Ghost. It was, I need the Holy Ghost. But you see, fear, it can be paralyzing. That freeze, fight, or flight is the mechanism that is built into our makeup, our DNA that is designed to protect us when we're threatened. I don't care who we might attempt to portray ourselves as, but you get any one of us in a moment where everything is stripped away. Chaos is ensuing, being peppered with questions, confusion all around us. Once the adrenaline has been depleted, fear and shock will set in. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah and told him, fear not, I've not only paid the balance for your situation, I've called you by name, and nobody can pluck you out of my hand. I'm going to tell us today on this Easter Sunday, if you're dealing with fear, if you're yoked up with fear, the Lord's wanting you to know, I know who you are. I've got your name. I know where you're at. I fear not. Somebody shout hallelujah. And then he makes these promises. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, and thou shalt not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Whether something is trying to overtake you, bind you, create in you the feeling of being yoked, hear me today. We are not created to be yoked up with anything of that sort. Can somebody say amen? The Apostle Paul, we read it already, but he's ably stated, stand fast, Galatians 5:1. Therefore, in the liberty therewith, Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, stand firm, persevere, continue in the course of action, even in the face of difficulty. I wish right now someone would just make a godly decision that I'm going to stand in spite of what I might feel. I'm going to walk no matter what. Whether it's up or down, I'm persevering to the end. Whatever is trying to yoke up with me, connect with me, I'm still here. I'm still standing. We've got to have that attitude that we refuse to come under the weight of that said yoke again. We've got to have that attitude that says, I refuse to come under the authority of the enemy again. I refuse to be linked up with the old me. I refuse to be linked up with the old ideas of what I once was. I refuse to carry the load of doubt and fear. I refuse to harness the guilt that daily pull me down. Is there anybody that has that refusal spirit on you today? You're saying, I'm not going back. I'm not doing that again. I'm not dealing with that again. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Fear, no longer. I'm not going to be yoked up to you any longer. Depression, no longer. I refuse to be linked up any longer. Abuse, no longer. I'm making a declaration that right now, today, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's Resurrection Sunday that lets me know Jesus is on his throne and it's a new day. So hallelujah. But it's been weighing you down long enough. And don't you think for a moment that all this mess going on around us and all of this uncertainty, don't let it get hooked up into you. It's an attempt to yoke us up. And bind us and keep us and jeer at our faith and jeer at our commitment. It is a yoke. Everybody say it's a yoke. Let's just be honest. I mean, we've got to. We're in the house of God. And if you lie, you lie, you fry. I mean, it's Easter for crying out loud. But yokes, they pull you off balance. Yokes pulls one down under the pressure. Is it getting a little old being like that? Yeah, a little bit. You're doing good, though. Yokes burden us with unnecessary weights. So the question begs to be asked today, and I understand that it's uncomfortable to even talk about, but what is your yoke? What is your yoke? What are you burdened with? What are you feeling the weight and pressure from and of? What is causing you to hold your head down? And like they of old, when the Romans, who were masters of the primitive ways of torture, they would conquer a group of people. They would harness them together in the most uncomfortable positions. And those who were already in their weakened state would now become the weight of a person before them and behind them. They're tied together, they're yoked together, and now each of them weighing upon the other. Bruised and broken, beaten and hopeless, they would be paraded through their cities, the city walls to the cheers and of the crowd, poked with sharp stones, jabbed with spears, spit on by their captors, naked and afraid, children not knowing or understanding what was happening. Those people walked under that yoke with the idea that there was no way out. That laborer would carry that load under the crossbar of wood, carrying a load to their destination, linked up with, loaded down with something unnatural. The yoke would chafe the shoulders of the said person. That yoke would begin to mess with your mind. Anybody ever get a blister on the back of your foot, your heel, trying to break in a new pair of shoes or old shoes? It don't matter. But you're walking around, and next thing you know, you start limping by the end of the day because now you've got this rubbed blister, and it just bothers you day after day after day. You try to put a Band-Aid on it, and it's always in the wrong spot. You know what I'm talking about. You try to put some of that new skin, spray it on your, or douse it on your heel or whatever it is, and that doesn't seem to help. You can tell I had some new shoes that I ended up giving to my son, can't you? I was like, I don't want these. Hurt me. Let them hurt you. I'm a good dad. Just ask me. But you see, the yoke would begin to mess with the captive's mind. It would begin to wear on their thoughts, and there they are. It's kind of getting old having your arms up. You're doing really good, though, River. Do you need someone to help you? You can. You want one of your brothers? Ryder, come on up. Help your brother out. Look at that. Give him a hand. Looking sharp today, too. You need pictures. Did you get pictures yet, Sister Casey? Oh. Whoa. He totally ditched his brother. You see how that is? It ain't mine no more. You okay? You sure? Okay. But you see, it's not a natural yoke, though, that you and I carry, per se. But there are things going on in our personal world that's weighing you down. Like those primitive devices of yesteryear, primitive farming devices, primitive ways of defeat. It chafes your neck, rubbing your shoulders, and burdening your spiritual back. How many know what I'm talking about today? Worst of all, it bows your head, not in prayer, but in shame and fear and worry. You're joined to it, and you feel like you can't get free. It's one step forward, two steps back. God, I'm going to get rid of this thing. I'm tired of being linked up to it. Is there a way out? And it's always one step forward, two steps back. Every day it weighs on you. You might feel like you hide it well. It's the hidden smile. It's the hidden thing behind the smile. Maybe it's something someone told you as a child. Those cruel, cutting, and hateful words seem to come to the forefront of your mind. It only happens when you come up short. You're yoked to it for whatever reason. You can't shake it loose. Whatever was said about you before now comes to pass and manifests itself in your adult life. And there you are. When you come up short, that's all you hear. You're linked to it. You're yoked to it. And there seems to be no way out. Somebody say amen. Amen. A man or a woman looking in a mirror, and the reflection is not them but a broken child carrying the weight that they're yoked up with. The yoke is always there. Some are here today on this Easter Sunday. It's more than words, but you're here today. You're yoked up with past actions. You didn't ask for it. It happened. It wasn't right, but it happened. One moment you think you're beyond it, one church service, and you think you've moved beyond it, but then the moment comes when you least expect it, that yoke that binds you to your past comes weighing heavily on you and on your mind, and you fall under the pressure and the weight of the yoke. Everybody say the yoke. You've prayed, you believed, you fasted, yet in your human mind, and that you can't do anything about it, humanly speaking, and that yoke comes pulling at you just when you thought you were moving forward. There again, is that getting tiresome? It gets a little old. Somebody say amen. Maybe your yoke is your own personal failure. No one did it to you, but you did it. It's the yoke of shame. You've worked hard to get over it. You've worked hard to bury the shame, but it is a yoke. And we know that Scripture states that the enemy of our soul is called the accuser of the brethren. And here he is, constantly in your ear, constantly letting you know why you don't belong in the presence of a holy God. You come on Easter, you feel God's presence, you begin to raise your hands, but that inward struggle begins to take forth. It begins to unfold in your mind, and hands come down in defeat. The head bows, not in disobedience, but rather it's with shame and guilt. You feel unworthy. Maybe that's your yoke. Maybe your yoke is something totally different. It's been with you so long, you don't even know that it's there. It just has become a way of life. This is just how I am. I feel this way because of, well, I really don't know. It's just how I am. I know this sounds a little graphic, but have you ever seen one of those animals that's been so abused by being harnessed up to out or outside so long that they become, the chain began to grow inside? It's terrible. You see, the animal becomes realize it's just become a way of life. That's how they're going to live their little life the rest of their life. But that's how you and I are at times. I'm not calling anybody an animal, although you might feel like you're sitting by one. But here's the reality. You and I, we sometimes feel like things are harnessing us back, holding us back. And we're just trying to get free, but for whatever reason, we can't seem to let go of the yoke, or the yoke will not let go of us. It's become part of your life. And of course, that yoke gets in the way of things. It causes you to not let people close. I mean, think about it. If anybody's trying to get close to Ryder, the moment you say his name, you're going to get whacked in the face. It's going to cause you to not be able to walk through doors that you were intended to walk through, but because a yoke, you can't fit into places. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to us today on Easter Sunday. That yoke, it becomes so heavy that now you bow your head, not in prayer, but in just complete exhaustion. There you are. There's no joy. There's no peace. It causes you to believe that you'll never have victory. The enemy, hear me today, is sinister, and he's a manipulator, and he wants to yoke you and I up. Yoke us up and pull us down. But I've got good news for you today. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the... You can be free today. We can be free today. Come on, stand to your feet and thank the Lord for freedom. Come on, shout, I'm free in Jesus' name. I stand here today on this Easter Sunday to let you know that you are in the right place at the right time. And that yoke you've been carrying around is about to be destroyed by Jesus called the Christ. Just look at somebody and say, I need Jesus called the Christ. You may be seated. You okay? Okay. You're not going to get me in trouble with your mama. I know how it is messing with someone else's kids. Mama bear comes out. So you let me know before it gets to that point, okay? Is he okay? You want me to whack him one with it later? But just like the oxen of old, nothing was wrong with the animal, but rather it was the yoke that became the burden. Hear me clearly today. On this Easter Sunday, there is nothing wrong with you. My God, I feel hope in this house. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing that has happened to you that hasn't happened throughout history. It's not you, it's the yoke. There's nothing wrong with you. You might have walked in here today feeling like I should not be walking in here, but here I am. I can't seem to go to the places I once went or need to go to in prayer in my walk with God, and I just can't seem to get through that door. Hear me, there's nothing wrong with you, but rather it's the yoke that's holding you back. It's the yoke that's holding you down. It's the yoke that... And like the words that God had once given to Moses, I repeat over us today. God is reminding Moses of a covenant. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12. I will walk among you and I will be your God and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and ye should not be their bondmen. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. I say on this Easter Sunday, March 31st, 2024, it's time you stand up and start walking in the liberty that God has given us. Start believing his promises. You're not the issue. It's the yoke that's been battling you and holding you down and wearing you out. One translation reads like this, Leviticus 26, 12, 13. The Message Bible says, I am God, your personal God, who rescued you from Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I ripped off the harness of your slavery so that you can move without freely. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You and I, hear me clearly today. You and I can walk out of this place from whatever has yoked you down, whatever you've been under. You were not designed to carry that burden forever. I say to all of us today, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Again, a yoke. Are you okay? You need your other brother to help you? Come on. We're modeling all the Ryan boys. You got any other single cats out there looking for a good-looking woman? Don't hit them with it now. Don't hit them with it. And they got to be Holy Ghost filled. Look at that. Help them. Look at that. Good job. Everybody give Ryder a hand. You okay? Okay. Again, a yoke is a beam, normally used between a pair of oxen or other animals to enable them to pull together of a load while working in pairs. A yoke was created to link up and to carry a weight that they could not normally do or be done by one person. A yoke would bind the two objects together in agreement. And it is found in the New Testament. John, disciple of Jesus, he wrote this, John 19:16-17. So they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic, is called Golgotha. Now, most biblical scholars and even the first century Jewish historian Josephus concluded that more than likely Jesus didn't necessarily carry the full cross, but rather the cross beam to Golgotha. And we know that looks a whole lot like what? A yoke. This one weighing in at around 100 pounds. Remember what a yoke is and was. No death was more scandalous than the death on a cross. To die by way of the crucifixion, it was dreadful and hideous, designed to discredit and tarnish the memory of the one who was crucified on that cross. There he is, the blood drenched from the top of his head, running down his face in his eyes and mouth and covering his torso. His very flesh had been torn from his hands and his feet by way of a beating that many would die from. There he was, carrying a cross for you and I. The whole scene was ugly, unsightly, repulsive, sickening, vile, foul, and revolting. Yet Jesus, called the Christ, the Messiah, bore that cross, willingly yoking himself up to our burdens, our shame, our depression, our anxieties, our sins, our sicknesses. Aren't you thankful that Jesus, called the Christ, chose to do that? And on that day, everybody say it, Jesus called the Christ. You know what that means? Jesus called the Christ. You know what that means? Are you ready? This is fun stuff. It means the anointed one. It means the anointed one. And I tell us today, the anointed one can destroy what's trying to destroy you and I today. The musicians could come. For the Bible reads and can be applicable to us even on this Easter Sunday, Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because. You everybody see what that says? Because of. You got to read it out loud. And the yoke. Go ahead and read that real loud. As long, if you got, I got glasses on so I can see it really good. But what's it say? That last part. And the yoke. And the yoke shall be destroyed. Because of the anointing. Come on, Rich. Why don't you throw that down like you mean it? Throw it down like you got some muscle and you're mad at it. That, go ahead.
Yes.
The anointed one. Jesus called the Christ. The anointed one. Wants to destroy the yoke in your life, in your world, in my life today. And as we all stand all across this place, Jesus called the Christ, which means Jesus, the anointed one. If the anointing is the only thing that dismantles and destroys the yokes, that means that it will take the anointed one to complete it. For you see, Jesus, again, called the Christ, our Messiah, means just that, the anointed one. He has not only been appointed, but anointed to destroy what's been weighing you down. Are you tired of walking around trying to fake the smile? Are you tired today of just trying to do things your own way and saying, it's just part of my life, it's just part of my world, this is who I am, I do this because of this, this, and this, and I'm tired of it though? It's the anointed one, hear me today, who's come to give each and every one of us a new life, a new beginning. And that crossbar that Jesus carried resembled a yoke, didn't it? Signifying he linked himself up to our pain, our sins, and he nailed it to the cross. I need Jesus called the Christ because he's the anointed one, and I need the anointing to destroy the yokes in my life. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus called the Christ. Jesus, the Messiah. The anointed one. And we just proof texted, we just proved it in the Bible that it's the anointing that destroys the yokes. So what do we need? Well, then we're going to need a touch from the anointed one, who is Jesus Christ. And we know he took that cross on his back. The things that linked up your past, your shame, my pain, he took it all. Nailed it to the cross. If you're thankful about that today, would you just raise a hand right now all across this place? And if you feel comfortable enough to, would you grab the hand of the person next to you, and would you maybe step out from where you are on this Easter Sunday? Would you care to have an encounter with Jesus called the Christ, the anointed one? And what you're feeling right now, what you feel tugging at you is the anointing, and it wants to destroy the things that's been messing with your mind. It's the anointed one. We need an encounter with the anointed one right now as they begin to sing. Would you lift your hands up? Are you tired? Are you worn out? To worship the Lord and thank him.
Oh, how he loves.
In your own words, in your own way, God, I'm tired of the yoke that's been on me.
He loves us.
anointing. You and I, we need a touch of the anointed one. Come on, in your own words, begin to pray with the person next to you. Come on, if you don't mind, if you're not praying, pray with somebody right now. God, I'm tired of being linked up with things that don't matter. Come on, begin to pray with that person next to you if it's appropriate. The anointed one. Come on, somebody. Let's begin to just cry out to Jesus.